Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
No.
That's what I'm hearing every time I... What are you doing now? Are we on the air?
We're on the air now, yeah.
Look, I'm watching this thing on TV. You're telling on the level. Why don't you give it a rest, okay?
I'm just trying to say that I can't hear...
I know what you can't hear. Everybody in the world knows what you can't hear. You know what I think? I think you need a hearing test. I really do.
Why?
Because every day with you, it's level. You don't know whether or not the EQ's right on this source. You don't know whether or not your microphone's hot enough. You don't know whether or not the phone calls are hot enough. Every day with you. You're driving me nuts!
All I wanted to know...
All you wanted to know is if you can drive somebody nuts with your level. Levels. You're just going to have to trust what the guys are doing up there. And shut up!
David...
Shut up!
Poof! Boy, he sounded like a lady.
Yeah. He did sound like a lady. You're right. All right, sorry.
Yeah, just give it a rest, man.
Yeah, okay, thanks, bud. I'll give it a rest.
Well, you know, I mean, they got a point. You got a level, you know, the level don't sound right. I got a better level. You've been talking about level for 4 or 5 years. The level ain't going to be right now. It ain't never going to be right.
Yeah, you heard that. Word up to your mom.
Word up to my mom. Welcome back to the show. Technical discussion, folks. Our number 877-876-PHIL, and of course, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And we're also, everything, man. We got our podcasts daily. We are the fifth most listened to radio show. We're the fifth most recorded radio show on Dar FM. Now, the reason why I bring that up, we're an overnight show. We're just this humble little radio show. Very humble, very small. We don't ask much of the world. We just come in and do our thing and we leave. And we take whatever small gratuity is offered. We put our tambourine out there on the street and we say, alms for the poor, sir, and people, you know, drop a few coins in as we do our dance.
Yeah, you're the organ grinder and Bud's the monkey.
You're the monkey?
Hey, do that, bud.
Well, call me a monkey.
Yeah, you call me a monkey? Is that what you're doing?
He didn't mean it like that. Come on. Why don't you just shut up? I've told you guys a million times, I'll do the talking. So, our little humble radio show here, people seek out and record. Now, why do I say that? Well, I say that for this reason. The guy that started Dar FM... I think that's what it's called, didn't start it because he loves the human race. He didn't start it because he just feels all warm and fuzzy inside for radio listeners and wants to offer them radio shows that they can record and they can listen to, and he's just going to feel real groovy about it. This guy started Dar FM so he can tear that dollar bill in half. This is what I keep talking about. Now, understand this, folks, and this is America's economy. These radio shows that this man is carrying on his service are owned by people. They're either owned by the artist, they're either owned by the company, they're either owned by the radio station, but they're owned by somebody. And this guy has taken all of these signals, and he offers them through his brokerage, if you will, to listeners to record. Now, you say, well, he's not violating anybody's copyright, Phil. I mean, these are already owned and there's advertising in them. That's true. What he's done is just provided a central location, if you will, so you can scan all of these shows that you can listen to and you will hear the feed. You are hearing the actual feed. You're getting the commercials, the promotional statements, the promotional announcements, I should say, and so forth. And one of those shows is mine. Now, I ain't got no dog in this hunt, but because I have a website and I have an agreement with my company, they hold the primary rights to my show, but we do have an agreement that we will provide a podcast. Now, this guy over at Dar FM is making money somehow. Either he is advertising on his website, either he is putting commercials into the actual web streams themselves, but he's doing something that alters the presentation of my show and a lot of people's shows so that he can make money. You understand? There's only one other way that this guy could be making money. Only one other way, and that is that the stations or the holders of the primary rights to these broadcasts are allowing him, are paying him, maybe, to carry these things. That's very unlikely. More, it would be more likely if he was paying them so he could pull these signals in. And he may be. He may be. And he may be selling advertising. But what I'm telling you is the following thing. You've got one product. The product has not been enhanced. There's not more radio shows created because of this guy. There's not more money being made by the talent. This is just simply one more slob that gets to tear the dollar bill in half and pretend like he's just made $2. You probably could care less, and that's good, because I'd rather it be my problem than yours. But be advised, ladies and gentlemen, if it's happening in my business, it's going to happen in yours. And if it hasn't already, because that's the name of the game in America today until someone stops these people. I have nothing against making my show more available to listeners. I want that to happen. But I damn sure am not going to make my show available to people who get to make more money off of it. And I don't. That isn't going to happen. In a million years, it's not going to happen. So we're going to take steps on this radio show to stop that from happening. And I'm talking directly to Dar FM. I'm going to take steps so that if I can't stop you from doing what you're doing, you're going to pay me, or I have a couple of other ideas that, quite frankly, my listeners are going to like. They're going to like a lot. And my company is going to like a lot. What I'm going to do is take a step to cut you, Mr. Dar FM, right out of the process. So I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to sue you or anything. None of that. I'm going to take a good old-fashioned free enterprise step to cut you completely out of the process. And that announcement will be forthcoming on this here Phil Hendry show. I don't mean to be in any kind of a bad mood or be hostile to the guy, but you know what? Facts are facts and business is business, folks. You know, like the Corleones used to say, this is business, it ain't personal. You don't just come walking along, you know, singing a song. Oh, look at this. I think I'll just grab this and I think I'll sell it and make money. No. We're not playing that anymore, man. You're either going to get the word the easy way or the hard way, but you're going to get it. There's no other business in America that has to deal with this, by the way. No other business that I've ever heard of in America that has to deal with a merchant or a craftsman or a creator or an inventor or anybody that has to stand and deal with someone stealing from them every day and having people standing there staring at it and going, well, we're not sure we know what to do about it. Well, you know, the law's fuzzy. The law's fuzzy, huh? Let me tell you something, man. If I take a baseball bat and I bust in a store window and I grab stuff out of that store, law ain't fuzzy on that. The law's not fuzzy on that. If I bust in somebody's front door one night and I steal everything in their house and I leave, you think the law's fuzzy? Well, it ain't fuzzy when it comes to the ownership of a radio show or a book or a movie or a song or anything else. And you know, I'm not, and by the way, and I really want to thank the U.S. Pirate Party. We had some conversation with the U.S. Pirate Party on Twitter. The U.S. Pirate Party is affiliated with the International Pirate Party. These are people who want to redefine. They don't want to do away with copyright. They don't want to do away with an artist's rights at all. That's not what they're about. And I talked with them about it. They want to streamline the process so that we are protected, and at the same time, the consumer is not put in jeopardy because he wants music, or a radio show. So the U.S. Pirate Party, the International Pirate Party, I've become a big fan of and a big supporter of. They openly defended me on Twitter. They defended me to some scumbags that had been communicating with them about how they like ripping Phil Hendry off. And they said to them quite pointedly, you know what? Take a hike, man. That's not what we're about. We support Phil Hendry. We don't support you. So we're big fans of the U.S. Pirate Party and the International Pirate Party. And to the extent that they adhere to that philosophy. And the rest of you slobs, I guess you're fresh out of friends over there, huh? Fresh out of friends, man.
Fletch out your headgear, new guy.
That's right. All right, coming up, we have some fantastic news about cantaloupe listeria. Now, I mentioned this to Bud, and you thought I was talking about Listerine, right?
Yeah.
It's not Listerine. Listeria is a terrible, terrible infectious outbreak, and we're going to talk about this. And
well, why do they call it Listeria and Listerine?
Well, I've got a very interesting story about that. The man's name is Joseph Lister. He was a scientist. He's a man that discovered, along with Louis Pasteur and others, the existence of bacteria and what to do about it, what to do about the existence of these infectious bacteria. So we'll be back here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in a moment to tell you about that story and other stories here in our news and information hour on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're going to be, what was I? Oh, yeah, I got to move crap tomorrow. God.
Yeah, why are you doing that?
Because I've had stuff in storage for 5 years, and I got to get that garbage out of there, and I got to get it out of there by the end of the month, and that's just all there is to it. I'm sick and tired of it being in there.
What are you doing now?
Because it's the end of the month, man. It's the end of the month. You know what? I would like nothing better. They can have it, man. They can take that garbage and stick it. I don't care.
You got anything in there that's worth anything?
I don't know, man. There's like a big king-size mattress. I could care less. There's a big-ass stupid bed. A big stupid bed. And there are other ridiculous things. I just don't know, man. I can't keep paying for this storage, man. It's going to be 5 years coming up in the spring. And I think she told me, the lady at the storage place, she said people there have had it for 10 years. So tomorrow, and you would have, trying to get a U-Haul truck. Unbelievable, man, trying to rent a U-Haul truck today. Oh, well, we're out. Oh, well, the closest place is in Simi Valley. All of this bull crap. You know, and I finally said, what do you mean the closest is in Simi Valley, man? Come on. And I finally found one that was a lot closer. The lady couldn't figure out how to make my order go through. And then I actually had to tell her, I think you need to put my email address in there. I understand that it's confusing, you know, and life can be a very confusing thing. But we're in the middle of a recession here. Now, I know that you guys at U-Haul, you probably are not close to going out of business. I mean, you've been around for a long time, but just remember, times are tough. Money is scarce. And I don't want to see you guys get shoved out of business because somebody came along and thought of doing what you do in a lot easier and friendlier and smarter way and a lot cheaper. And the next thing you know, U-Haul goes the way of who, you know? Woolworths? All right, 877-876-PHIL, and let's see. All right, this is the story of that I was telling you guys about. Health officials say as many as 16 people have died from possible listeria illnesses traced to Colorado cantaloupes, the deadliest food outbreak in more than a decade.
These are cantaloupes that come from Colorado?
I guess, yeah. The outbreak has been traced to Jensen Farms in Holly, Colorado, which recalled the tainted cantaloupes earlier this month. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Tuesday 72 illnesses, including 13 deaths, Good Lord, are linked to the tainted fruit. State and local officials say they are investigating three additional deaths that may be connected. The death toll released by the CDC on Tuesday included newly confirmed deaths in Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and Tejas, surpassed the number of deaths linked to an outbreak of salmonella in peanuts. Almost 3 years ago, 9 people died in that outbreak, so this is a much deadlier. Now, listeria is more deadly than well-known pathogens like salmonella and E. coli, though those outbreaks generally cause many more illnesses. 21 people died in an outbreak of listeria poisoning in 1998, traced to contaminated hot dogs and possibly deli meats made by Bymar Foods, a subsidiary of Sara Lee. Another large listeria outbreak in 1985 killed 52 people and was linked to Mexican-style soft cheese. I remember that.
What happened?
I remember that one because I happen to like Mexican-style jalapeno, like Monterey Jack cheese, and I remember when they came out with the announcement that people were dropping like flies. As the result of that, I put my finger down my throat and threw... I'm kidding.
Did you really?
No, I'm joking. But...
Sure. Well, did you or didn't you?
I didn't. I'm sure. Oh, my God. I just had Mexican sub. No, but I do like that kind of that Monterey Jack cheese.
Yeah, I know you do. You put it like you put it on hamburger.
I do. Yeah. I love it, man. And I like the jalapeno kind, you know, the spicy kind. Those are good. And I think that's what I was eating back in those days, but... Anyway, listeria generally only sickens the elderly, listeria generally only sickens the elderly, pregnant women, and others with compromised immune systems. The CDC said the median age of those sickened is 78 and that 1 in 5 who contract the disease can die. Okay, so we now know that this is 1 in 5 is 20%, so that's a particularly deadly disease for elderly people. Unlike many pathogens, listeria bacteria can grow at room temperature and even refrigerator temperatures. That is, you see, so just putting something in the refrigerator, man, it may not be enough. The FDA and the CDC recommend anyone who may have one of the contaminated cantaloupes throw it out immediately and clean and sanitize any surfaces it may have touched, or go ahead and chop it up and put it into a fruit salad and you'll just, I'm kidding. About 800 cases of listeria are found in the United States each year, according to the CDC, and there usually are 3 or 4 outbreaks. Wow. Many of these are traced to deli meat and soft cheese. Here we go again with that. What's with soft cheese?
Maybe, I don't know.
Comes out of a cow.
Yes, it does. Now, you were asking me about Listerine, bud?
Yeah.
Well, Joseph Lister, and forgive me, I'm not that... I forget exactly, but Joseph Lister was a scientist, and a scientist that we should have a great debt of thanks to give to, because along with Louis Pasteur and some of these great scientists, they broke open a whole new world for us. Up to that point, we didn't have any idea that there was such a thing as infection. We didn't quite know what was causing, for instance, gangrene in soldiers in the Civil War who'd been operated on. The doctors in those days didn't sanitize anything. They had no idea that the filthy instruments they were using were causing these infections that were killing these men. In fact, most of the surgeries that they performed, most of those men died. It was like, I think, 1 in 10 survived surgery during those terrible days. And in the years that succeeded, it wasn't until, a variety of people, Joseph Lister, one of them, Florence Nightingale, the famous nurse, she said, throw open the windows, let's get some air in this place, man. It stinks like a sewer in here.
She really say that?
I don't know. It would have been cool if she did, though. You know?
Yeah, Florence Nightingale. I'm sure she's going to go coming in.
Yeah, I would have loved Florence Nightingale walking into the room. Boy, it stinks like an outhouse in this dump. Open it up! And Joseph Lister. Now, here's an interesting story. You know Listerine, right, bud?
Yeah.
They never got permission from the Lister family.
What? They're using his name without permission, huh?
They're using his name. They used his name. I don't know what's happened since. But when Listerine first came out, and this was at the turn of the 20th century, long time ago, they decided, let's just call it Listerine. That's what I'm talking about. Joseph Lister's family was not consulted in the least. Now, I don't know what's happened in the intervening years. If any of Joseph Lister's descendants have said, hey, whoa, 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 there's sunshine. Whoa there, kitty cat. You pretty nosy fella, huh, kitty cat? You know what happens to nosy fellas? Yes? No? You want to guess? Yes? No? Okay, they lose their noses.
Ow!
That's what they should have done with the Listerine people. Whoa, whoa there, kitty cat. All right, we'll be right back with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More what, I don't know, but
pretty good, man.
For Patriots, by Patriots. Phil, it's the Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about. And we're online at philhendryshow.com, and you can take a look at our live streaming video. And every night it's an adventure, and who knows. And anyway, and I have a lot of fun, and it's great.
Take it easy, Mr. Hendry.
I'll be okay. Anyway, come on over to Phil Hendry Show. Come on over to philhendryshow.com and see what you've been missing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, man, you do that off the air, man. Do it on the air.
Excuse me. Excuse me, okay? What do you want to do? Just sue me? It's been a long, hard struggle to get to where I am today. Anyway, so join us at philhendryshow.com at a backstage pass. You see live streaming video of the show right now. For instance, we're online here. And there is the beautiful El Pacifico behind me. This is where we broadcast from each and every night. It's a gorgeous look at our beautiful Pacific Ocean with the sun, the beautiful oranges and the blues, the hues, the reds, it's a green screen. Anyway, we also have thousands of hours of archive material. And like I said, we are planning something very special for you, our listeners, for those of you who are our backstage pass holders, and also for those of you just regular listeners of the radio show, we have something planned for you. Now, understand, if you are a backstage pass holder, you are in the best possible position of anyone because you have unlimited access to our website. And those of you who are holding backstage passes today, or if you're planning on getting one anytime before October the 1st, or if you've had one since 1999, and I know a lot of those people, great people, well, you are a part of the first generation of Phil Hendry Show BSPs because as of October the 1st, our price goes up. It's not going up a lot, but we had to do it, folks. We have not raised the price in 12 years. 12, count them. 1999, when this website first went on the air, October of 1999, if I'm not mistaken. And it'll be the 12th anniversary of a price that has never been hiked. So I'm sure those of you who are in business understand and will not begrudge that move. You will get, believe me, you will get for the money that you pay. Stuff that is well worth it. Thousands of hours of archive material that as a backstage pass holder, you can download. That's right. You own that. You can have it. You don't own it. You're not allowed to. Well, you know. Anyway, also our video cast archive, also our daily podcast and other little goodies. We have archive material, not only audio, but video as well. Interviews, television appearances, and every now and again, Phil gives you a little tour off the air via our Phil TV and HD. We do some rants there. We'll talk about things. So join us and become a part of our BSP family. Now, Michael Moore was on Piers Morgan. Now, you know, if you listen to me for any length of time, you know what I think of Michael Moore. I felt that Michael Moore is a disingenuous propagandist. Other than that, he's probably a sweet guy, but he is, seriously, he is a disingenuous propagandist. He is a man whose views and opinions and political philosophies shift with the winds, as it appears to be, anyway. But I got to tell you something. For the first time in my life, I find myself more in agreement with him on something than in disagreement. Now, something has to be said here. There are a great many of us, and I know that there are a great many listening to me right now, who feel, and rightfully so, that free enterprise, capitalism, is the purest way for a human being to succeed and to have the things in life that that individual wants. In other words, to find the means to happiness. The sweat of your own brow, the profiting from what you create and what you produce, in friendly competition with your fellows, protected by a benevolent Democratic umbrella. This is America. But something has changed in our, not our system, so much as our attitude and the way that we look at making money. And I have to tell you, for the very first time, I got to agree with this fat slob, Moore, and I say that with all due respect.
Gee, that with all due respect on account of your fat.
Is that right, bud? Well, who asked you, man? And guess what? I ain't as fat as him. There ain't no way I'm as big as him. There's nobody bigger than that guy. No one.
Yeah, figuratively and literally.
Exactly. Something is shifting, and it's weird. You know, the human race, we've always been taught, will always find the best way, the most expedient way, the most inexpensive way, perhaps, but the way of excellence. That we always, after we sort of do this king of the hill climbing on top of one another, I mean, you know, that is the nature of competition, that we find the excellence in ourselves, we find the excellence in our efforts. That's not happened yet in the current state of our economy. What has happened instead is because we as consumers want things to be affordable, because it's harder and harder for millions and millions of us to compete for a good income, or maybe the kind of income that we would like, we need to have things affordable. And from that has come the need to produce things at a less expensive, you know, rate, so that those prices can be delivered to us. The person that makes it has to find a way to make it cheaper so that the American consumer can have what he wants by way of his demand for a lower price. And that means, of course, that very same worker who wants a lower price on a product is forced to take a lower wage, because production costs must be dropped, until eventually the production costs must be dropped so far the company moves to another country where they can pay some foreign laborer a dollar a day. Now, no, I'm not blaming this all on the American consumer. Hold on. Hold the phone. Something happened, I don't know when, and there are smarter people than me that can figure this out. Something happened in this process of finding a way to make the producing of goods and services less expensive so that the American consumer can be satisfied with the price. Something happened to the capitalist, to the inventor, to the creator, where he said, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I can't make money the way I want to make money and produce these products and these goods and these services as I've produced them. I need to sell my company. I need to get out of the business that I'm in. I need to find another way to make money. So what happened? Suddenly a generation of these kinds of people sprung up. And they were no longer interested in owning companies or owning the means by which these goods, these services, this hardware, this software could be produced. Now, what they wanted to do was buy things like companies or an interest or a share or a bunch of shares or a position that they could maximize their investment that way and suddenly make a little bit more money, and then they sell off that position as opposed to selling that company, which was making stuff. Now they're selling shares, which owns part of something that may make stuff. We don't know. Now we're getting further and further and further away from creating things. Now we're just in the business of tearing a dollar bill in half and making it into two. That's what we're doing more and more of. Some people call that capitalism. I guess Moore, in an interview with Piers Morgan, says that that's not capitalism the way we knew capitalism. Now, I'm going to listen to him. Now, understand, I haven't heard this audio, and what I'm about to hear may piss me off. But what would the bud? Will you turn off iTunes, man? You know, I don't need to hear any more of the whatever it was you were playing.
Doors.
Whatever. Here's Fats. I mean, here is Michael Moore and Piers Morgan.
Tell me about capitalism, though. Yeah. Is capitalism in itself wrong? And the reason I ask you that, you're a very, very successful, very rich filmmaker, apart from everything else you do. In a way, that is capitalism. I mean, you've got a business.
Is it really?
You have a company. Well, isn't it in its purest sense, isn't it?
What pure? There's nothing pure about capitalism.
Is it not, though?
It's not capitalism. That's...
Okay, well, I didn't. That was nothing. That was a lousy piece of sound. Let's see if it gets better here.
We are in an economic crisis.
What the? Sorry. Michael Moore. Oh, here he is. We only have one cut? I thought I had three cuts of Michael Moore.
I don't know.
It says, tell me about capitalism. Moore explains that capitalism in its current sense isn't like it used to be. If people worked hard and succeeded, then everyone else prospered. Capitalism went wrong because people aren't paid to create or invent things, but are now rewarded for moving money around, making money off of money. Well, yeah, so he says exactly what it is that I was saying to you guys. Good, I'm glad he understands. So the creation of wealth, in other words, is not making something to sell to the public. The creation of wealth is about, it's about investing in a company that makes something to, you know, sell to the public, or investing in a company that owns another company that makes something to give or sell to the public, or investing in a company that owns the bank that gives the money to another company that spreads that money around to companies that may or may not make things to sell to the public. You see what I'm saying? You see where I'm going with this, huh? Or buying bonds on a debt that is owed to an entity that gave money to another entity that decided to have a position in a company that is going bankrupt, that a bank took over, that maybe someday will sell things to people. You see, we're getting further and further and further removed from the actual process of making stuff. And this is why, if I'm an honest man, and I think I am, I have to listen to a guy like Michael Moore, and I have to say, the cat's right. Now, this other hooey about, I'm not a capitalist, get out of here, Moore. I'll give you this. I don't know why you shy away from it, Moore. You make movies, people pay, they go see them. That's an honest trade. I mean, your movies suck, but that's just my opinion. That doesn't mean anything. The fact is, people want to go see his flicks, and he charges them money, and they walk into the theater, and they sit on their ass, and they watch it, and they go, wow, I really dug that. And maybe they even get the DVD, and maybe they even rent it. And that is about as direct a business as you can have. Hi, I have a movie. Want to buy it? Sure. Bang. Good. That's about as honest a business. And you guys are involved in that kind of, not entertainment necessarily, but you have something and you sell it. That is an honest enterprise. But the further and further away from that we get, where we're no longer owning a company that says, hi, I have something. Want to buy it? Yes, I do. Oh, great. And you make it so well, I want to buy another one. Thank you. And you have more and more customers. And that's what we all learned was American. Something has changed now. Now we are getting further and further and further and further away from that. Now it's about, I've got a share in a company. And that company owns a bunch of companies. Well, what kind of a company is that? I don't know. It's called a holding company. Or it's called, enterprises. And all of the companies that it owns, it looks at, are they making money? Are they making money? We don't know. And what are those? Well, some may be banks and some may be something else. Some may be companies that don't create anything either. They own other companies. And some may be companies that create things or not, but they don't create them fast enough. They don't create them big enough. They don't create them at the rate that the shareholder wants them to create them at. Maybe they make a great product, but they charge too much. So they got to cut the cost. They got to cut the production cost because they want to make more money way, way, way up the chain there at the shareholders meeting of the company that owns all the companies, that owns the company that makes the product that is a pretty good product, but they charge too much. What's the answer? Fire people! Put people on the street. Don't make a better product. Whatever you do, don't do that. Bottom line, bottom line, bottom line, bottom line. So my old man was a salesman, which is about as capitalist as it gets. My father went out every day, and he sold things, and he made a damn good living. He was very good. My dad had the gift of bullcrap. All of us Irish guys do. I took the gift of bullcrap and I decided to put it on the radio. My father, he went out, he sold. Who knows what my progeny or, you know, people that call themselves Henry may do in the next succeeding generations. I have no idea. Maybe they'll become preachers. Maybe they'll go to jail. I don't know. But fact is, the things that you and I know as being American, which is I'm going to my business today to work hard to sell or to push a product or the fruits of my labor to see if my customers will buy it. And if not, what can I do better to make it more saleable? That is becoming a rare thing. And the people that do that are you and I. We're just small business people. And the big companies are not engaged in that work anymore. That's why, folks, about 10 years ago, if I saw this Occupy Wall Street demonstration, I would say, oh, get a job. Not anymore. You see, that Occupy Wall Street demonstration, they're not going to shut Wall Street down. They're not going to change the fundamental way that America does business. They're not going to change America. But what they are going to do is what any good demonstration, any good protest, public protest of policy or life or culture or society does. They're going to put a thought maybe deep into the heads of the people they're protesting. Maybe they will influence, or maybe they'll change somebody's mind, or maybe they'll just get so pissed off, which is where I'm at right now, that we will get some changes, fundamental changes in the way that business is done, so we get back to making stuff again. And not this game, this just vortex that we seem to be swirling in. And when I say vortex, the thing that comes to mind is a toilet. Just around and around and around and around we go. And the money just keeps swirling up instead of down. And it's going to higher and bigger and more complex and larger companies with people and vice presidents. And those guys way at the tippy top, they wouldn't know how to actually create something for a consumer, just a guy in the street. They wouldn't know how to do that any more than they'd know how to levitate. They don't know what that is. They're so far removed from that. Maybe once upon a time, that's what they did. You and I are doing it, though. You and I are doing it. And less and less do we find a market. And if we do, we make less and less dollars at the market that we find, because there's some guy finding a way to exploit a company's struggles so that he can make money by buying that company, breaking it apart, selling off pieces, or firing a bunch of people, quote-unquote streamlining it, not making it any better, just making it more efficient at shoving the cash up the chimney. That's what's happening. Folks, this is coming from a real conservative here. When it comes to economics, I'm real conservative. I want to do what makes sense. People say, you in favor of public health, Phil? If it is something that can save this country economically over the next 10 years, you better believe I am. You think I'm stupid? You think I'm a guy that's going to sit here and say no to a good idea? And I don't need just a bunch of chumps on a talk show to tell me whether something's a good idea or a bad idea. I'm going to look at it myself. All right, we'll be right back. I'm way late for the break. The Phil Hendry Show.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about. Welcome to the program. And again, what I said earlier, what I said in the last segment about, you know, I'm not a raging commie.
You mean comedy?
No, commie. I'm not a commie.
Yeah, a lot of people would worry about that.
Well, I'm sorry, P. I'm not a commie. My thing is, and it's always going to be, about what's the best way to get something done. It's a stupid way, folks. This is just the dumbest thing in the world to say I'm not going to do it that way. Why? Because doing it that way is the is your mother's way. And I'm not going to do it your mother's way. Like when you were a kid, what if you heard your dad say that? What do you mean? What does that mean, Dad? I don't do it your mother's way. I always do it my way. Yeah, but mom's way is a good way. How dare you say that? My way. See, there's no discussion objectively as to what is the good way, what is the best way, what's the most proficient way. We're just saying my way or mom's way or your uncle's way. Well, what the hell are you talking about, man? I thought we just wanted to get it done. Well, yes, we do want to get it done, and my way is the best way. Well, wait a second. We haven't even tried mom's way. I don't want to try mom's way because her way, you know. So that's what we're dealing with. I'm just interested in whatever the good way is, man. Let's do that good way. All right. We'll be back tomorrow night, or tonight, I should say. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by, tonight, Don Naylor and Fred Scotty, as well as Chris Johnson. This is Phil Hendry. And we will see you again tonight. Don't forget PhilHendryShow.com for your backstage pass. Become a first-generation member of the Phil Hendry Show as of October the 1st. Our second-generation BSPs begin their Phil Hendry sojourn. See you tonight, folks, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.